Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday, May the 15th, 2017 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and as always, I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Okay, so last Tuesday night, for those of you who recall, which most of you will, I did a show on Omar Mateen and the Pulse nightclub massacre. Now, tonight, we're going to look at it from another angle and maybe just kind of correlate a few things here. As you are well aware, I invited a lot of you, or all of you, over the past weekend to view a video on my site by John Hankey. The name of the video was Understanding Terror. A lot of interesting research by John Hankey on this one. And for those of you who don't know, John's done a number of other very informative documentaries in the past. A couple that stand out in my mind are the one on JFK Jr.'s plane crash, which I'm going to have John up again, and we're going to revisit that at some point in the not-too-distant future, but also on JFK Sr. So tonight, John and I are going to explore the Pulse nightclub shooting again and compare some notes, okay? And I think you're going to find the show very interesting. Now, one other thing I want to point out, and I'm going to ask you, I'm not real sure tonight if we'll have time to open the phone lines, but if we do, I would like for you to hold your questions or comments to this topic. And I'll get into anything else you want to cover during the rest of the week. But for tonight, we want to just drill down on this nightclub shooting. So with that, John Hankey, welcome to the show. And I want to let you know, I've always been a big fan of yours. How you doing?
Hey, Michael, I'm delighted to be here. I appreciate the opportunity. And let me say off the top, Michael and I don't agree about everything. And I said to Michael, and I it's becoming a core of my approach to life, which is that having discussions with people that agree with me about 100% of things, I don't learn anything from such a discussion. And it's through an interchange and an interaction with people that you disagree with that I find that my learning develops and my understanding develops. And so I regard this as an opportunity both to share with everybody else the things that we agree with and also to explore and hopefully learn from the things that we disagree about.
Well, and that's great, John. And you know as well as I, you and I are both on the same page there. And, you know, as far as tonight goes, with just, you know, kind of piecing the puzzle together with this particular issue, I think it's going to be for a very interesting show. I don't think we're going to get into any disagreements tonight. If we do, it'll all be jovial because I think you and I have become friends over time. That being said, though, let's get started with this. I wanted to start with, you know, a line that you put in your documentary, John. It's okay to be gay unless the FBI agents want you to be straight. You want to expound on that a little bit?
Well, it was one of the things that came out. It's the first thing that attracted my attention about the Orlando shooting, which was, right, you and I were looking for the anomaly, right? What is it about this story that doesn't make sense? And to me, the most glaring anomaly was the number of witnesses at the Orlando, I think most of these people were not at the shooting. They were just regulars at the Pulse nightclub who knew the shooter, Omar Mateen, very well and had seen him on many occasions and knew him to be gay. And nevertheless, the FBI, I'm sorry, I got to back up just a minute, but I think it may have been the day of the shooting, right? And the shooting took place at 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that. So you have, you know, from 2 o'clock until 10 o'clock in the morning, that's 8 hours for reporters to get on the stick and pursue leads and come up with things. And there was a Brazilian news team that went, I believe, to Colorado and were interviewing Mateen's first wife. And, you know, as I'm telling the story, I'm thinking about it in my head, how did they get that? And I wouldn't be surprised if the real perpetrators of this crime, and let me say, just in introducing that I believe Mateen was an asset of the intelligence agencies. I think that's very, very clear from his background, that they may have tipped the reporters, oh, go see his first wife because she has bad things. She divorced him, right? She's got bad things to say about him. She will back up our story about how this guy is a monster because he was taking steroids at the time and physically abused her at least somewhat. And that was largely the basis of her seeking a divorce. But she told the Brazilian news team or her husband, actually, her current husband, told the Brazilian news team that Omar Mateen was gay and that they had told this to the FBI and that the FBI told them not to tell it to the American news media. And this is in my video, the interview with the woman, the ex-wife, and with her current husband discussing this. And that's, you know, I was immediately struck, like with a hammer, why would the FBI be running around telling these people not to say that Mateen was gay? It, among other things, it indicates that the FBI has a vested interest in portraying this guy in a particular fashion. And then very, very quickly, all sorts of witnesses from the Pulse nightclub stepped forward and said, oh, yes, we've seen him there on many, many occasions, and he was very, very friendly with us. He would be sitting around drinking with us, and, you know, there was, to say that there was no animosity in the room was to say the very least. He was very, very friendly. One of the female impersonators who performed regularly at the Pulse said that she had had an exchange. In his garb as a female impersonator, had had a very friendly exchange with Omar Mateen, and one of the witnesses had been to high school with Omar Mateen and was a female impersonator and had a, you know, they recognized each other. They had a very friendly exchange. And then there are witnesses who said that they dated Omar and that they, all of them, I believe, said that Omar was open about the fact that he was married and that he had a child and that he was struggling with that particular issue in his life. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a struggle that was, you know, in any way sort of on the edge of sanity. It was a struggle with which he was fairly comfortable. And certainly when he was at the Pulse nightclub, he was very, very comfortable with his gay side. That was the observation. I didn't find a single witness who's... Go ahead.
I just wanted to interject something. Back to his wife for just a moment. Okay, and you may or may not know the answer to this, but, you know, during that time, and by the way, folks, this is his first wife, not his second wife that he has a child with. This is the wife that he was married to and then got a divorce from. But from your research, John, you know, first of all, let me attack the steroid issue. Back when I was going through my, you know, midlife crisis, back when I, in my 20-year marriage, I had occasion to get into steroids to bulk up. And to use the term of John Statmiller, my wife would call me an asshat more times than I could count because I was just a terrible human being during that point in time. But also, and I wanted to ask you if you know, okay, was it the combination of the use of steroids and the abuse, of which, you know, there was a lot of verbal abuse in my marriage over those steroids, not physical but verbal, but also did she mention anything about the combination of him being abusive to her and the fact that he was gay that they divorced, or do you know?
That's, you know, it's a very fair and a good question. I'm not under the impression that she was particularly troubled by the fact that he was gay. He was a good husband to her, in other regards, but it was the abuse that he couldn't put up with. His current wife, that is to say his wife at the time of the shooting, I'm under the impression was also very familiar with his habits of frequenting the Pulse nightclub, for example. He took her there. I'm sure that there are news reports that he took her there. And, you know, so he's taking his wife to a gay nightclub where he's going to be running into a lot of people that he knew.
And has dated. Go ahead.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't feel like I really gave a solid answer to your question. She didn't raise that I can recall his having gay male friends, intimate partners. I don't recall her raising that as an issue for her getting a divorce. It was the verbal and particularly the physical abuse. On one occasion, at least, he grabbed her by the neck. Mm. And didn't hurt her, but he grabbed her and he clearly scared her. And
I think go ahead.
Married to this guy. It's also interesting, while we're on the topic of these wives, that his wife at the time of the shooting was never interviewed by anybody and was threatened with prosecution. And my 1 + 1 = 2 is that the reason they never prosecuted her with anything, and I think that the reason that they threatened to prosecute her is in order to achieve the result that was achieved, that is to say, that that's why she never had any interviews with the media. You can imagine that the media would have been, if they were worth their salt. This is a very, very, very important witness, and to my knowledge, there is not a single report of her being interviewed with in any of the news reports.
But and John, you would almost have to assume that the because we know, I mean, you know, I know, being in the media, I would be all over a story like that. So for the media not to approach or maybe even try, they must have been tipped off or told by the FBI, or maybe even threatened by the FBI, don't go there.
I think that's right.
Yeah, but and you know, in segueing from that, and I just want to touch on this, in your video, you had talked about two Orlando Sentinel reporters that aired the same story regarding Omar's witnesses, and they took it to the Orlando Police Department and the FBI's, and the Orlando Police Department and the FBI both commented to them that they have no information on the fact that they had been given all of these testimonies by these people that Omar was gay.
Yes, and I know in my video there are at least two witnesses who said, oh yes, of course, we talked to the police. And there is a third witness who said, well, my friends talked to the police. The police took their phones and did not give them back, and then said that we don't have any information that Omar was gay. And this particular witness says, why would I go to the police if this is the way that they're treating the people who are coming in? They're taking the evidence, right? Because the phones had the exchanges, right? These guys,
right, the texts. Yeah, go ahead.
Texts, gay dating apps, and whatnot. Any number of witnesses who exchanged one sort of communication or another with Omar, gay men who exchanged dating contact, right, hellos and so on.
There was Kevin West, and also it's either Corey or Cody Cedeno, if I remember correctly, off the top. And both of these guys, I think, had asserted that they had been propositioned, and maybe one of them actually went on a romantic date with him. Go ahead.
West, who's a Navy veteran, went on a romantic date with Martin. And what's interesting, and you don't have any trouble finding the FBI saying this, the FBI said, we don't have any evidence. So you have a line of witnesses, but you don't have any evidence. And, you know, that's a lie. And my question is, and you know, it was my question from the first when I ran into the ex-wife who said this aspect of Martin's life is being suppressed, is why would they do this? What would their motive be? It just, you know, how does that make any sense? And I think it's because, you know, my answer to that question is that they had a stock explanation that this was a terrorist attack, mm-hmm. and it doesn't make sense that you would have a gay Islamic terrorist. It makes even less sense that you would have a gay man who was comfortable and relatively open about his gayness carrying out an attack on behalf of his Islamic State when Islamic State executes people for the crime of being gay. That there's a huge disconnect.
And exactly, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, right. This is, and it's only so obvious. And in fact, FBI Director Comey.
Oh, go ahead.
I'd like to consider my video, one of the intentions was to indict Comey.
Let me interject something here. I did a show just a couple of weeks ago, and my definition of Comey is the choker, or i.e. the fixer. Okay, he's the guy that covers stuff up and fixes stuff, and that's a whole other show. But go ahead, continue on Comey.
Well, just that he lied about all of this stuff. And the other thing that's just absolutely remarkable is that Omar Mateen went to the police academy, graduated from the police academy, got a job for the state of Florida as a corrections officer working in one of the prisons, left that job to go to work for Wackenhut. And you talked about that, right? And how Wackenhut has the soup. They have the highest security clearances available, that they do work at Guantanamo. And he worked for them for 10 years and never got a bad review. He never got a bad review working for the state of Florida, as far as that's concerned. And Comey didn't find that any of this was worth the most remote mention. So that, you know, Comey is being incredibly misdirecting in his covering of the evidence regarding this shooter. And the suppression of the story that he was gay is, you know, just one more element in this line of misinformation and misdirection and suppression of anything that contradicted the cover story that you see being engaged in by the FBI.
Okay. Well, you know, as we speak about this, and that you're talking about the witnesses that were that came out after the mainstream media, you know, were probably directed by the FBI, oh, go talk to his first wife. She's got a whole bunch of dirt on him, you know. And then the other witnesses came out and they said, wait a minute here. Okay. And I don't even know how many there were. But what's interesting about this, and this is what I wanted to touch base with you on part of, was that you had a great video, by the way, John. You had all of these depicted out there, and the statements that they made on the record about him openly being gay, about him being a nice guy, and so forth. And yet, on the other side, I'm doing digging on the witnesses that were interviewed mainstream that the FBI allowed to be interviewed. And I came up with six, a minimum of six, that were actors, and I'm sure they were paid actors by the government, but also an additional at least 25 that had criminal records, one of which is of specific interest. This girl had been busted for, it must have been something pretty serious. Hold on a second, I'm going to get her name for you. Daritza Velez-Corsino was arrested on undisclosed charges, which I find is very interesting here, John, because she was arrested on May the 8th of 2015, and as anybody that's been through the system knows, usually it takes 6 months to a year to resolve any serious case. But on this particular lady, this is the lady who supposedly was holding her girlfriend's hand and watched her die. Now, you explained to me how she was arrested about a year before that on undisclosed charges, and her court records have since mysteriously been scrubbed. That doesn't make any sense to me, because being through the system, like I've been through the system just doesn't do that. But there's a complete plethora of people that I have listed, and I know because you went back and listened to my show, that have been arrested for anything and everything. A lot of them felonious arrests, and I can only deduce that it is quite possible, I can't say this for a fact, John, but I can say it's quite possible that there was a deal made with these people to either drop their charges or expunge their records if they would do this. What do you think about that?
If they would do what?
If they would come out and be a witness to, and we're talking about people here that are being interviewed by mainstream news that are saying, oh, I was holding the hands when my girlfriend died, or I got shot. One guy was in the hospital, okay, had been shot three times, twice, I believe, in the leg and once in the torso, I think. And he made this mysterious 48-hour recovery, and he was being interviewed by mainstream media with all these doctors sitting around here, and he looked fine to me. There was no trauma in his. If I'd have been shot three times, okay, you wouldn't be able to even talk to me for probably a month, you know, just recovering from the trauma. So there's a lot of stuff about that, to me, is very fishy. Your comment?
Well, this is, on the one hand, it's a central point of, I want to say, where you and I diverge. I'm not inclined to suspect that 50 people were not murdered at the Pulse nightclub. And we have 2 hours, so we can take that issue up.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we've got a break coming up.
Got
a break coming up. Hold that thought. We got a break coming up. Okay, and I'll be back in three, folks. And you know, I got to do my little thing here. So stay, relax, John. Go to the bottom of the hour. I'll see you on the other side of the bottom of the hour, and we'll continue with this. See you on the other side, folks. Be right.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. I'm going to take a little break from John right now. We're going to pick him back up at the bottom of the hour. And I want to tell you, I'm still barking on this, which means I haven't reached my goal yet, folks. But I want to give a shout out to all of you that have donated towards the RBI pledge drive, and I want to thank you. Folks, the good news is I'm better than 75% of the way to my goal of $1,500. The bad news now, but the bad news, it always seems the same. The donations always seem to come from the same people. And I have to tell you, the total of the donations comes from only 21 people. Now, folks, that percentage is infinitesimally small in comparison to the listening audience. Now, I'm not talking here to the dedicated listeners that have dug into their pockets. I'm now asking the people that have not yet donated that tune in, listen to RBN, whatever shows you listen to, okay, and take the time to donate $20, $50, or $100 and send it in, okay? I want to stop barking at you folks, and as soon as I hit my goal, I've told you I will, and I will. I'm 75.53% of the way to my goal, and as soon as I hit it, I'm going to stop talking about this because, just like you, I don't like to interrupt guests when they come on. I don't like to interrupt my news, but it's imperative that we get this money in so we can get the equipment that is needed, take some stress off of John, make the tweaks and implementations that we need to make this network a better network for all of us. So, as I said, I'm 75.53% of the way there. Please help me out here. Pick up the phone and call 800-724-2719. extension 3, and you could send it, just, you know, there's a little note there that says, this is because Michael keeps barking at me. Whatever note you want to put, I don't care. But whatever, you know, 4 Starbucks coffees, $20, $50 if you can afford it, $100, or you can send a check or cash in foil to put some foil around the top of it to RBN at 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, that's 2251 Double Creek Drive, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And again, I want to reiterate here just for a moment, folks, that, and I've said this before, that it seems that the donations always come from a very small minority of the people, which really kind of isn't fair to them. It's not fair to me. You know, this information that you get on RBN, not necessarily all of it. We're all looking for answers. We're all kind of a family. I've got John Hankey on here tonight. We're comparing notes. And as John told you at the beginning of the show, we don't agree on everything. But we're both avid researchers. We're both looking for truth. And folks, so are you. You're listening to us because you're seeking the same thing. That is what separates us from the masses. We have the ability to think. Ask yourself a question. What would you do if RBN wasn't here? What would you do if the only place you could tune in is going to toe the party line and feed you with the nonsense that the mainstream media feeds you? How long would you maintain your sanity? It's just like John was talking about a few minutes ago. The FBI, we're going to talk about Comey here when John gets back. I could say a lot about that guy. Okay, he's the choker. He's the fixer. He's the guy that is the gatekeeper that's covering all this stuff up. Okay, in a number of different situations, which John and I are going to drill down and go a little bit deeper into, after the bottom of the hour break. But in the meantime, folks, ask yourself the question, how much does this mean to you? How much does this knowledge and information mean to you? What kind of doors does it open up to allow you to go in and do your own research? What's it worth to you? Okay, and again, I want to remind everybody, I don't like doing this just as no less than you don't like hearing me do it. Let's do it. Let's get it done. Let's get it out of the way. Reach in your pocket, get $20, $50, $100, or go to the website at republicbroadcasting.org, hit the PayPal button, and donate, you know, $50, $100, $20, whatever you can afford, folks, because I'm 3/4 of the way to my goal. I don't know how many of the other hosts can say that, but I want to get my goal out of the way, as I said, and I want this to be done with and over, because I don't like it, you don't like it, and unfortunately, as we all know, money is a necessary part of running a business, and we have to have it to stay afloat. That's all that can be said about that. So please, you know, if you've got some change in your cookie jar, if you've got a loose piece of silver hanging around, whatever you've got, again, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Michael will pick up your phone, tell him it's because of me and you're tired of listening to me, you know, bark at you. Or send them a check to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. We'll be back after the break with my guest, John Hankey. Stick around. It's going to get even more interesting if you can believe that. See you on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting 2 people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendolite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. I've got my special guest, John Hankey. We're talking about the Pulse nightclub shooting again and kind of comparing notes here. But, John, I wanted to mention at the end, right towards the break, you had said that we've got a little difference on if anybody died there. And I don't know if anybody died there or not because, there was, interestingly enough, from what I saw, there were no videos inside, so I don't know what happened in there. But also the witnesses that I watched in the interviews, I didn't see any trauma, John. Somebody that was coming out of a nightclub that was being shot at, I wasn't noticing the body language of any trauma there. And also there one specific witness, this Christine Leononen, in watching her and watching her body language, I watched her, I caught her actually reading her lines, and let's just say this, she was a very bad actress. Now, if her son died there, I'm sorry for her loss, but her performance wasn't very good, and she had to interject in there, and I don't know whether it's the FBI prompted her or the mainstream media prompted her to say, we've got to do something about these assault weapons, and it was a totally inappropriate time for... in that part of her interview for saying that. So that's a question in my mind, John. So anyway, I just wanted to clarify that I'm not sure how many died, if anybody died. I do know that both my webmaster and I went and looked in the SSDI Death Index and also in Legacy.com, and we couldn't find any of the names in there. Any comment on that, John?
Well, sure. I mentioned that I think that this is a huge and an important topic. And I think that that sort of skepticism is good, right? I think it's vital. I think that everybody should question everything that they hear on the news. You should question it. I don't... Now, you and I were speaking on the phone the other day, and you... Well, maybe I'll keep names out of it, but there are people who I consider, you know, really excellent researchers and good friends who claim that nobody was shot in Charleston. And I sent a private investigator, it cost me a couple of $1,000s, to Charleston. And, you know, we can do that for another show. There's a lot of extremely interesting facts about that. But he went to the church, and he talked to any number of witnesses. And, you know, this is a very, very, I would say, brilliant guy with a, you know, a very divining intellect, and certainly doesn't accept anything. I'm, you know, familiar with the way that the media lies. And he didn't come away with any suspicions about any about whether or not the people at the Charleston church did in fact die. And you have the issue also of whether Osama bin Laden actually died. And, you know, I've seen people put together what I thought was an impressive list of reasons for thinking that perhaps Osama bin Laden was already dead when the attack took place. And I don't want to go down that road and end up diverging from this topic, but I think that it's helpful which in this fashion, which is that I think that it doesn't matter whether Osama bin Laden died or not. It is monumental, I think, that anyone would claim that Osama bin Laden had died. I know that Dick Cheney and, you know, those people, the perpetrators of 9/11, mm-hmm. went to an enormous amount of trouble and expense to persuade us that radical Islam was a threat. And I assume that people in the audience are familiar with the evidence that the Twin Towers were brought down by explosives. Hell, Donald Trump, the day that the towers came down.
Oh, John, you've been on RBN before. My audience is smarter than I am, which is dangerous. Go ahead. Because I'm not that smart, but yeah, they all know. Go ahead.
The point is that they went through all of this trouble to create this boogeyman of Osama bin Laden, right? Osama bin Laden didn't launch the 9/11 attacks, and he didn't put explosives in the Twin Towers or in Building 7, and on and on and on. So they went to this enormous amount of trouble to create this boogeyman, and that boogeyman got deflated. They claimed to have killed him, which is, it seems to me, perfectly obvious that the purpose of claiming, if you didn't actually kill Osama bin Laden, whether you killed him or not, in saying that you did, you are turning down the heat on the war on terror. You are turning down the heat on Islamic terror as being a threat. What's the word they love to use? A threat to the very existence of the United States. There's a particular, you know, $25 college PhD word that they use that isn't coming to me, and it doesn't make any difference.
Okay, go ahead.
In any case, claiming that he has been murdered is turning down the heat on that. It's turning down the heat on the fire that is supposed to be making the justification for increasing the budget of the military-industrial complex tenfold. It's turning that heat way down. And would, in fact, you know, hopefully you would, it should make people stop and say, well, wait a minute, do we need to build a new aircraft carrier full of $1 billion jets to fight these, you know, ragtag group of guys in pickup trucks? Oh, well, yeah, we do, because they blew up the World Trade Center. Well, no, we killed Osama bin Laden anyway. It seems to me that whether or not people died at the Pulse nightclub is not the essence. It's not the main point. The question is whether they died or not. They claimed that they died, and they did that with a purpose. And I think it's valuable to discuss what the purpose of this charade was and whether or not people died. The notion that the shooter, Omar Mateen, was a devout radical Islamist. That's a complete fraud. That's a complete charade. And I think that you can tell that it is, and that the FBI was involved in perpetrating this fraud and charade, because in the first minutes, they're suppressing the story that he was gay because it tends to undermine their claim that he was a radical Islamic terrorist.
Well, that's a good point, but I also, as long as we want to kind of digress back for a moment, talking about the character of Omar Mateen, we had neglected to mention that PGA village that he went to work for, which, you know, he had a 10-year experience, I believe, with Wackenhut, if I'm correct, right? He worked for them, G4S, for 10 years, am I right?
That's correct.
Okay, and so there's interviews of these elderly ladies at the PGA Village, which is a retirement community, I believe, Eleanor Dorsey and Maria Roman, and they both said that this guy was very polite and a very nice guy. I mean, it's the same thing that everybody said about the guy, with the exception of a guy we're going to talk about here shortly, which is this Daniel Gilroy character, which is a character in himself. But my point is that we've got these two ladies at a retirement community saying, oh, this guy was great. We have another situation where, and he was filmed in the BP oil spill, the movie The Big Fix, where there's a reporter that comes in at night, and she runs into him. He's a security guard, which, as a security guard, I guess he's temporary. They can put him wherever they want to put him. But he happens to be overseeing any cars coming in here, and this reporter wants to go in and interview some of the people that are on the site. And the exchange, which is on video, you can see it on John's documentary on my website, is very pleasant. He was very jovial. He was basically laughing at his employers to this reporter. You know, he didn't come off at all like somebody that you would even sense for a moment is a radical or a terrorist or anything of the sort.
Well, and this woman is, I mean, try to put yourself in his shoes for a moment. He's out there in the dark, and somebody comes driving up in the dark and starts asking you questions in the dark, and he's completely jovial and friendly. And, you know, it seems to me that he would have reason to not be, and he was not. He was jovial and friendly, and he's bashing BP, right? He says BP, British Petroleum, the guys who did the terrible spill in the Gulf, are not interested in cleaning up the Gulf. They're interested in collecting the money that is being spent to clean up the Gulf. Mm-hmm. This is what he says on the video. What I've made a couple of notes is that the argument that I would make, and that I try to make in the video, is that I think that he's very, very clearly a police asset. And that's kind of the road I'd like to go down, unless you got someplace else you want to go.
Well, no. As a matter of fact, let me expound on that just a little bit, because my experience with police is almost the exact opposite of the encounter he had with this reporter, because police are in this mode of, how do I want to put this, their mood depends on your mood. And police are generally apprehensive, and for good reason, because they never know who they're stopping. They could be stopping a terrorist. They don't know. But this Omar Mateen in this video gave me no sense of that whatsoever. At no time did he act like he was at all defensive or apprehensive or anything of the sort. His body language showed me that he was just a genuine, true human being that was just trying to help. That's all he was doing.
Which corroborates what the old ladies at PGA Village said. It corroborates what everybody from the Pulse nightclub had to say about him. And it corroborates what his neighbor, and long time, right? The guy had known him for 20 years, his childhood friend, who's a medical student. And, you know, that interview is also in the video, says about him being, you know, just the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. And this guy, the medical student, is, I think, gives the most probably well-informed discussion of how Omar's steroid use was linked to his divorce from his first wife and the violence and the asshat personality that he showed to his first wife that resulted in him getting divorced. Mm-hmm. But so the point that I think we'll make together is that there's not only a lot of evidence, but it's all mutually corroborative. You have a community of people, a wide and broad and diverse community of people, all saying, and none of it is showing up. You know, It's in the Orlando Sentinel, but it's not, certainly it's not on the front page of the LA Times, and it's not on the front page of any other newspaper, unless maybe you'd get a couple of words that might lead you to then head off in an investigation that then turns up all of these other people. But the overwhelming evidence is that he was a really, really sweet guy, and none of that ends up anywhere in the media that you can find it. And then you have this lone witness who is an ex-cop, well, ex in quotation marks. I mean, I think it's fairly clear that he had been recruited by the perpetrators to underline their story, and he's the guy who ends up in the front page and right mentioned over and over and with extensive quotes in every single article, in the lead sentences of every single article about what a maniac Omar Mateen is and how he was afraid of him, although he didn't. If you dig hard enough, his G4S supervisor says, well, you know, this is very interesting, this guy saying all of this stuff, making us look bad, because in his separation statement, right, I was impressed. If you're running any sort of an organization, if you give people, when they are leaving, the opportunity to bear their souls, right, the opportunity to vent, they are liable to say things that are more true than anything that they're liable to say while they're working for the company, right? While they're working for the company, they're liable to say, be very, very guarded in their criticisms because they don't want to suffer repercussions. But G4S is more interested in doing a good job, apparently, than they are in trying to guard the feelings of their first line and second line managers. They invite people who are leaving to vent and to say the worst things that they can think of about the company so that they can evaluate these criticisms and take corrective action. And this witness, Gilroy, who says all of these incredibly terrible things about Mateen to the newspapers, doesn't have anything to say but good stuff about how all of his co-workers are just wonderful people in his separation statement.
Well, John, let me interject here because I'm going to take this point in time. I took the liberty of taking a paragraph out of your video, okay? And what you say here is the co-worker, Daniel Gilroy, he painted Omar as an unhinged and incredibly short-tempered racist maniac.
Right, and those are all quotes.
And he not only complained to the management twice, according to him, about Omar, he claimed Omar was dangerous, but he also claimed to even quit his job to get away from Omar. Now, and in hearing this, GS4 released a statement regarding Omar saying that prior to his employment, and I'm quoting this, they did both a background check as well as a psychological evaluation and found nothing wrong with Omar. And further, they found no record of Gilroy ever making a complaint about Omar. What they did find was a statement made by Gilroy upon his departure from GS4 or G4S. He wrote, and I quote, "Workers were good men and women that put in an honest day's work and genuinely liked to work as a team and contribute," unquote. That was the sum total of Gilroy's complaint. Now, the elderly ladies, as you say, said Gilroy is lying. Omar's childhood friend said Gilroy is lying. And Omar's mentor at the mosque said that Gilroy is lying. But taking it a step further, and this was very chilling to see, John, because when I watched what this guy Gilroy did as he was, I believe it was he was on a Cala, Florida cop at one point, right?
I'm sorry, say it again.
I believe that Daniel Gilroy at one time was a police officer on the Ocala, Florida Police Department. Is that right?
I couldn't swear to the town that he worked for, but he was a police officer who appears to have been let go for cause. But go ahead.
Okay. On 7/14 of 07, and by the way, I have pulled up this clip, and I'm going to have my webmaster put it on. It's a chilling clip of this same man who's making all these allegations against Omar Mateen. This guy, he was arresting a 15-year-old girl, she was a black girl, okay, for curfew. This guy, I'm surprised he didn't break her arm. He punched her in the face, slammed her head into the car, and then after that, pepper sprays her before dragging her in to the car after he handcuffs her. It looks to me, if this is a case of projection, John, where it looks to me like Gilroy was the violent and racist cop, and ultimately, Gilroy was suspended from the department for this. Go ahead.
Well, and he was, as near as we can tell, he was unemployed at the time that he's making these statements to the newspapers about what a terrible guy Omar was. And so that at the very least, he's in a vulnerable position where he needs to be cooperating. If the feds come up to him and say, we would like you to go and say this, if he's not currently employed, he's going to be in a position where he's going to be hard-pressed to turn down a paycheck under circumstances like that. Now, I want to say, I taught in the Los Angeles Unified School District in the poorest neighborhoods
in
Los
Angeles. All right, hold that thought. We got to go to a break. Hold that thought. You taught in the Los Angeles Unified School District, and we'll pick that up on the other side. Folks, stick around. More to come. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. See you on the other side. Be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're back with American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun with my special guest, John Hanke. And this is a short segment coming up, John, but then we'll go into a long segment after the top of the hour. But as before the break, you were talking about you spent some time in the L.A. school district. Go ahead and continue.
Yeah, only 30 years.
Oh, and, well, that's
you know,
not long at all.
Don't get me wrong. I love my students. I just had a wonderful time. Great, 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 great kids. But I watched this cop struggling with this young woman, and I'm very sympathetic. I understand. He's got the most difficult job in the world, right? If I have that sort of a problem, if I have somebody in my classroom who's being very, very disruptive and maybe even threatening, I get to call some poor guy like him to come in and deal with it. And, you know, not that that, I don't think that that ever happened really in my classroom. There's one girl who pretended that she was tough because she wanted to get expelled. But, you know, it was all pretense. Anyway, the point is, I'm not against the FBI. I'm against James Comey. And, you know, if they want to tap my phone, good grief. You and I are, they can tap this radio show while they're at it. I'm not talking about anything that I care about, whether anybody listens to it or
not. They already do, John. They already do tap it. Go ahead.
but that cop has a tough job, had a tough job, and I'm sympathetic. And yeah, it's chilling watching the video, but I'm not as twisted inside when I see that video as I am when I read the quotes in which he talks about what a monster Omar Mateen was. And, you know, is therefore, this is the lies that he told about Omar Mateen are a crime against the people of the United States of America, right? What he did with that young woman, well, he should have called for backup, and they should have had, you know, I don't know. He should have called for backup. That's the only thing that I can say that he did wrong. And if he couldn't get backup and he had to deal with it, I'm not sure that he didn't do the best job that anybody could have. I just want to say, you know, I don't want to get too down on him for that, but I'm very happy to get very down on him for what I perceive to be lies that are part of this orchestrated lie.
Well, you know what it's called, John? It's called narcissistic projection. The way I perceive it is that he was projecting on Omar Mateen who he really is inside. Because go ahead.
Well, that's an interesting interpretation, but it's not my interpretation. My interpretation is that he's following orders from superior and covert individuals who set up this whole thing and created this. Well, let's talk about this. We're going to get cut off. But I wanted to talk about Omar Mateen being an asset, and let me just quickly.
Before you do that, and that's great because we're going to go to the top of the hour break. But before we get into that, okay, I want to talk a little bit about the Omar Mateen used to dance around with Wackenhut. They would place him in temporary positions, and we're going to get back into Comey. I'm going to lead you right back into him because, believe me, I can carve him up big time. But I want to expose the lies that Comey told the American public regarding the incident that happened in the courtroom with Sheriff Mascaro. All right, but we'll pick that up on the other side. Would you mind going there before we get into the other?
No, that they're related.
Yes, okay.
They're absolutely related. That's on my list to take that up. But just quickly, Abel Danger and Muhammad Atta. People know who Muhammad Atta supposedly was, the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks, which is garbage. And Muhammad Atta has all of these links to U.S. intelligence, and I think it's fairly clear. Well, and he's linked to Abel Danger. And what is Abel Danger?
Abel Danger is a place. I know, we got to go. Abel Danger, we'll come back.
Great.
All right, we'll be back
Thanks.
In 2 minutes. Stick around, more to come. Getting better, folks. See you on the other side.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.